My name is John Erling, and today's date is November 12th, 2024. So, Rick, would you state your full name, please?
Sure. Legal name is Ricky Lawrence Brinkley, but go by Rick Brinkley.
Named after somebody?
Well, you know, as most families do, my middle name is Lawrence, and I asked one day why I was named Lawrence, and it was my grandfather's middle name, and I asked my grandfather about it, and he goes, that's not my middle name. So that's where we are.
And we are recording this in the facilities of Voices of Oklahoma. And your birth date?
July 25th, 1961.
And that makes your present age?
63 years old.
Where were you born?
Oklahoma City, Oklahoma.
Let's talk about your mother, her maiden name, where she was born, what kind of person she was.
Sure. My mom is 87 years old, still going strong. Her maiden name was Pfeiffer, F-I-F-E-R. She was from Collinsville, Oklahoma, graduated from there. My dad is from Monticello, Arkansas. He has passed away. His name was Donald Daniel Brinkley. His father and his uncle were raised in an orphanage, so we don't know much about any of that side of the family. My father's father ended up dying in a bus accident when my dad was 8, and my dad dropped out of school and started picking cotton. My favorite part of that is that he was driving a taxi cab at 13, worked his way up, never graduated high school, and ended up becoming the cars were his thing, became the general manager of a car dealership here in Tulsa for decades, and he was a good man who overcame a lot and did great things.
That was your father?
That was my father.
And so obviously he had an outgoing personality and that type of thing?
Yes, he was one of those people that everyone loved. I mean, I'm still, some people who are well known, some who are people I've never met before in my life will stop me and say, you know, your dad did this for me. And you don't know this, but your dad is what, you know, kept me going. One of the stories is someone who's very well known in this community, but I won't say his name, pulled me aside one day and he goes, my father and your father knew each other through the car dealership. His father was a doctor. And he said, I needed to borrow a car. My car was in the shop. And your dad's like, here, I'll give you a car to drive. And he said, the car got stolen. And he goes, my dad made me go in there and tell him that I had lost this car, a brand new car, that he would just let me borrow. And he goes, your dad just looked at me and he goes, things happen. And he said, I'll just never forget that as long as I live, that I was just waiting to be yelled at and screamed at. And, you know, and he goes, I was like in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And your dad just bent over backward to make me feel okay. And that's who my dad was.
Wow. Your mother's personality, what did she do?
My mom was a stay-at-home mom until all three of us graduated. And then she went into the real estate business. She's one of those people that, my sibling, I've got two younger sisters, and we will say the same thing, that we'll be out and people will walk over and go, oh, I met your mom, and she's the sweetest woman I've ever met in my life. Now, our response is, I don't know who you met, that was not my mom, and we say that laughingly. She is that way, she really is, but she has always had a pretty good sense of humor, and so we have dealt with that. I kind of tell everyone that she had three rules when we were growing up, which was that when you were 4 years old, you had to be in the living room every Saturday morning to learn how to dance. So we had a little, you know, the 45, 78, you know, record players, and she would play these 45s from when she was in high school, and I knew how to two-step by the time I was 5 years old. So we learned all those dances. When you were 6, you were responsible for dinner one night a week. And that meant that on Saturdays, the three of us kids would gather at the table, and she would just dump a pile of cookbooks on the dining room table, and we would have to go through and figure out what we were going to fix. But you could not fix anything out of a box. Everything had to be from scratch. I did Tuesday nights, and then we would have to calculate if you needed a quarter cup of flour and she needed 3/4 of a cup of flour, how much flour do we have to have? We go to the grocery store. So I got to fourth grade, and Mrs. Deering was, all the kids were so confused on fractions, and I was like, Mrs. Deering, just bring in some measuring cups, it'll make so much more sense with everybody. And so she would be in the kitchen with us on our night and taught us how to cook, and so all three of us kids have that ability to cook. And then the third thing was is that when you were 14, you got a checking account and you had to balance your checkbook every month. And my mother said that if anything ever happened to her, we knew how to dance, we knew how to feed ourselves, we knew how to take care of finances, and those are the only three things you need to know to be able to survive.
Ha ha ha. That's marvelous. That's great.
Yeah, so we learned a lot of great lessons through the years.
Yeah. So are you a cook today?
Absolutely. And it's really funny. I've passed it on to my grandson. You know, he would come to, like all grandparent relationships, he would spend time with, I would Peepaw, and he's Pie. That's his nickname. I still call him that, but his real name is Christian. And he and I would make cheesecakes. He loved cheesecake. So we tailgated at the Oklahoma State games. He's living in Houston. He and his wife came up and they turned in their request for what cheesecakes they wanted. And so I made their cheesecakes for the tailgate, but they're heavily involved in their church. And I said to him one day, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm in charge of cooking everything for everybody else. And there was this part of me that goes, the baton has been passed, you know. So he and I were at a store over the weekend. We met it in Dallas. Several of us met in Dallas. And we went into a store, and he was holding up spices. And he goes, now, this is my go-to spice for rubs on what I'm working, when I'm smoking. So there's that thing of knowing that the generational ability to cook has been passed on.
That is wonderful. Your education, grade school, where was that?
We did not have kindergarten when I was a kid. So I did grades 1 through 12 in Collinsville. Graduated from there. I always joke, I was the first person on either side of my family to go to college. I was the first college dropout on either side of my family. I got an internship during my junior year of college at Channel 6 here in Tulsa, and that turned into a job, and left there. Was there for a couple of years, ended up in Baltimore working for a TV station there. Then I ended up in New York City producing, one of the producers of the Sally Jesse Raphael Show in New York City. Came back to go to seminary, your normal job transition. In the meantime, I had to finish a bachelor's degree, so I was not exactly the most academic student in the world. So I took my transcript, and at that time it was called UCAT, University Center of Tulsa, where it was OU, OSU, Langston, and NSU out of Tahlequah. And I just went around and said, what's the fastest degree I can get? I don't care what it's in. And Langston University gave me a degree and 30 credits with what I'd already accomplished in liberal education, which is a degree in absolutely nothing, but I went to college. And that got me into Oral Roberts University's School of Theology. Ended up with a master's degree there, and was a pastor of a church in Collinsville for 10 years.
All right. Why go to school of theology? What led to that?
Well, I was had been involved in this. When I moved back from New York, I started going to this church in Collinsville, and had always worked with kids. When I was in Baltimore, I worked with kids, and they talked to me about doing youth work, and then I would fill in for the minister when he was out of town preaching, and it kind of just became this unseen calling, and people kind of were like, you need to do this. And then I ended up, when that senior pastor retired, I became the minister.
Yeah, and the Oklahoma State University School of Education?
Well, what happened was is that in the in-between of all of that, after I had finished the master's degree, I had really started to look at doing a doctorate in higher education administration. And I had started the doctorate and ended up getting a different job. And it was just like, I can't do that right now. I can't do the schooling right now because I got to figure this job. And like many of us who have done these things, then never went back and finished.